Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. We hope it's treating you good. For this July 7th, 2023, 9:05 on the clock, got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by our head of production, Seth Habhacker.
Good morning.
We're going to have some fun this hour, everybody. We got some entertainment news to get into. We're also going to touch on, before the end of the hour, the top 10 TV-related arguments couples have.
That should be an interesting one.
It's going to be interesting.
People still argue now these days about TV? Okay, let's see.
We are going to also get into, of course, some That Ain't Right stuff and some local good stories of the day. All of this coming up for you. We kick things off with a little bit of entertainment news, and Alan Alda is auctioning off the combat boots and the dog tags he wore on MASH back in the day.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Proceeds will go to the Alda Center for Communicating Science at Stony Brook University in New York.
Mm.
He says, quote, "There's an old belief among actors that when you put those the shoes of the character on, it's easier to believe you're the character. And I think the boots had that effect on me."
Hmm.
While the dog tags came from the costume department, they had the names of two actual soldiers on them.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Alda says, quote, "I saw those names every day. It was an interesting experience to put them on. I wasn't dealing with props. I was dealing with something that put me in touch with real people."
Mm, wow.
So there's a great story about Saving Private Ryan, where you've got some of the biggest stars of the day, even today, and Matt Damon, Vin Diesel, Edward Burns, all these all these great young actors, and then there's Tom Hanks.
Yeah,
and they're all in this foxhole, training and you know, trying to simulate war and all these things, and really trying to be in character and get an idea of what it is like to be a soldier. And all these young actors are in this foxhole, and they're sitting there. And they're in their gear and stuff, and there's Tom Hanks right at the top. And a lady comes by, a service lady, with bottles of water. And she asks, you know, of course, Tom Hanks first, "Sir, would you like a bottle of water?" And all these guys are thirsty. They've been doing training like they've never done before and all that. They're beat. And these are Hollywood actors who are in good shape, but not like our soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're beat as all get out and want this water more than they've ever wanted anything. Tom Hanks looks at this lady, holds up his canteen. He's like, "No, I'm good." And every other actor looks at that and is like, "Oh, well, I'm not going to take a bottle of water." Yeah, we're good. Yeah, we're good. Matt Damon talks about it. He's like, "I had nothing in my canteen, man." But I'm not going to, like, if Tom Hanks is doing that, I'm not going to be the one to grab a bottle of water. Like,
no.
These little things that actors do that I think may seem silly to others, and I do not begrudge you that.
Yeah.
It's a little silly.
It's true, yeah.
We are talking about adults, you know, playing make-believe.
Make-believe.
But it's no different than when we talk about athletes playing a kid's game and getting paid millions of dollars to do it.
That's a great point.
I mean, this is about adulthood. You know, this is part of it. These little things that actors do to get to the role, that's, to me, true method acting.
Yes.
Alan Alda didn't think he was this guy.
No. He didn't say, "I am, you know, Hawkeye. Yeah, you know, yeah. I'm an actual surgeon during the Korean War."
Yeah.
No, he didn't do that.
He did his best to get into the shoes of that person, quite literally.
Yep.
So I think that this has a lot of layers to it where, yes, it is great that he's raising the funds for this. It is really cool to see Alan Alda. Just talk about Alan Alda. One of my favorites. I love Alan Alda. But I think it's even more fascinating to hear those details that we've known MASH for over 40 years and didn't know some of this stuff.
And, you know, when we were kids, you know, we caught maybe the tail end of MASH, but I think most of us remember Alan Alda as a great scientific discoverer, or whatever that show he had on PBS.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he was, and he's always been a huge science guy. I mean, he's a big science advocate and everything, which totally makes sense with where the money is going. So that's what I remember him from. He was such a great host of that show.
He's one of the most naturally talented actors that I've ever seen. I mean, like, I know how much work he has put into every performance he's ever done, and it looks so effortless.
Yes.
It looks so just simple. I know he's talented. I know how much work he puts in, but everything I've ever seen him do, it's just so much. He's such a joy on screen.
Yes.
He's such a joy on to watch.
Yep.
The Eagles are calling it quits. Yes, the band famous for the Hell Freezes Over tour and the last Hell Freezes Over tour is touring once more.
Yes, yes.
The Eagles announced a farewell tour called The Long Goodbye. It's still in the early planning stages, so there's only a fall dates with Steely Dan so far.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah. I do like that. I would waste the money of that. I would go to Steely Dan and probably leave before the Eagles were done. The band says, quote, the Eagles have had a miraculous 52-year odyssey performing for people all over the globe, keeping the music alive in the face of tragic losses, upheavals, and setbacks of many kinds, quite a few of which they caused themselves. Our, quote, our long run has lasted far longer than any of us dreamed. But everything has its time, and the time has come for us to close the circle. This is our swan song, for the but the music goes on and on. They want to give their fans a chance to see them so they may return to certain cities if there's high enough demand. They'll be announcing more dates as the plan as plans are set. Who's in this band?
Who are the Eagles these days?
Yeah.
I know Vince Gill's in them.
That's cool. I'd see Vince Gill.
Yeah, right.
You know, I wouldn't mind seeing some of the others, but, I mean, who are the others that are still performing in this band?
I think Don Henley's still doing the drums.
Is he?
I think so, I wasn't sure.
Yeah. He's doing it. Is his ego doing it? Can both of them tour together or not? I don't know.
You know, I think Don Henley's gotten better the older he's gotten. Yes, he's not as bad as he used to be.
And I would definitely stick around and see it, see the band.
I got to tell you one thing. They're going to sell some tickets.
If nothing else,
the Eagles will always sell out shows. And I wonder how much what Eagles tickets are going for these days, man.
Good question.
Yeah.
So looking at the current lineup, drummer and vocalist Don Henley, famed guitarist Joe Walsh, bassist Timothy B. Schmidt, and on guitar, Vince Gill.
So those are the three regular guys. Those were basically from the beginning, except for Randy Messner and a couple other, the really early guys. But they're basically there with Vince Gill to take Glenn Frey's part, I guess, because he passed away a few years ago. So
back in 2016. Mm-hmm. And from what I hear from like Don Henley and from some others in interviews, Vince Gill is an official member of the Eagles.
He is, which is cool.
That is really cool.
I mean, he doesn't need it. It's Vince Gill for crying out loud. Yeah, everyone knows who he is. But still, I think that's really cool.
And I think that I've always respected and admire Vince Gill, but this just and really put him on a different level to me. To take the ego out of it and just want to be a part of a band.
A band that you grew up loving
and enjoying. And we got to experience a little of this, Seth, you and I, when we were interviewing the Lizards and we got to talk to Ben.
That's true.
And I've got Ben sitting right next to me and I like, Ben, what does it feel like to be a part of the Lizards and all this? And he's like a little kid. He's giddy. He looked up to the Lizards. He's listened to them his whole life pretty much.
And now he's a part of it. It kind of blew his mind. He couldn't really put it into words.
Well, that's kind of cool. And I wanted to touch on new in theaters. Let me see here what we got. Joyride, starring Ashley Park, that is new in theaters. That one actually is getting a lot of great reviews. It's one of those best friend movies.
Okay.
Seth Rogen produced it. And Stephanie Hsu, the daughter in Everything Everywhere All at Once, she gets to a chance of comedy and do the lead role in this. And I'm really excited about this young lady's career. Like, she blew me away in that movie.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see more and more.
That's cool.
This looks really good, but again, I'm going to keep doing this. If you haven't seen Everything Everywhere All at Once, I really do think that's one of those universal great movies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recommend movies very often, but that one I will recommend all day.
Yep.
Insidious, The Red Door, PG-13. That is also being released.
Wow. And another one? How many of those have they made now? My goodness.
You know what's surprising to me about this? It's rated PG-13.
Yeah.
You don't see horror movies rated PG-13 very often anymore.
You know, I remember there was in the mid-90s, there was that, you know, the Scream phenomena made a whole bunch of horror films like that were the PG-13 variety of horror films. So you could get a bigger audience. I wonder if they're going back to that again.
With as hard as it is to get people to the movie theaters,
you try anything.
You know, one of your biggest concerns is, okay, I know that if I'm doing a genre movie, I've got my niche audience, but I'm not worried about them. I'm not worried about getting the people that have come to every horror movie or came to the first 20 Insidious movies. Mm-hmm. I need to get that fringe person. A good way of doing that is the rating system. It's playing off of that, I can get more people if it's PG-13 than R. And, you know, I don't know how much that had to do with it, but that's definitely got to play a part.
You know, it's interesting.
Pun intended. That was bad.
I was just thinking about this because I saw Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse recently, and that's rated PG. And that's because there's not objectionable material in it.
Yeah.
But some of the stuff they're discussing in it, I'm like, this is going to go over some kids' heads. Yeah. I mean, this is like really deep philosophical things they're talking about. So it's like, wow, I don't even know if the rating system does it make any sense anymore. Yeah, I don't even know.
I'm not sure it ever did.
No, it may not have.
But you're darn right about it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really doesn't. Now it's a matter of what can I get away with?
Basically.
Yeah, that's all it really is.
Yeah.
These movies are going to be seen and do fairly well, I imagine, in the box office. But the real big thing this weekend, if you're paying attention to this stuff, is how the new Indiana Jones movie does and how the new Flash movie does.
Yeah.
Seth and I are going to get into more of this on Director's Cut this weekend when we talk about the summer blockbuster, Are You Gone? Where have you gone, summer blockbuster? The days of that, are they done? And we're getting more and more evidence of that possibly being the case.
Mm-hmm.
The new, like, okay, Indiana Jones, that's an old series. They're hoping for nostalgia. They're hoping to get some younger people. Not the biggest shock if it doesn't do that well.
Mm-hmm.
But the new Flash movie, like, put aside the Ezra Miller stuff and everything, which I don't think you can, but trying
really
to.
Yeah.
You've got nostalgia overload. You've got Michael Keaton as Batman. That alone going to sell you some tickets.
Yep.
It is probably going to go down as the biggest box office bomb in Warner Brothers history.
And that's saying something.
Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers.
Like one of the only old school studios still around.
Mm-hmm.
And this their biggest bomb ever. Even working towards inflation and things like that.
Yeah, wow. Wow.
We'll get more into this on Director's Cut, but I'm more curious, not just this weekend, but next weekend, and as long as it's in theaters, how The Flash, how Indiana Jones do, and the numbers that they bring in overseas and here. Right now, they're still holding on, thinking that it still will do good this weekend.
Right. It has what they call legs. Yeah. Right.
We had a weird 4th of July weekend here where we had the holiday on a Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah.
And so they're leaning into that, saying that that's why the box office numbers weren't there. But we'll see.
I don't know. I went on the 4th of July to a movie theater. It was pretty full. There were a lot of people there.
See,
but it wasn't at those movies. That's the problem. I mean, that's the question, right?
Looking at what's new on your your radio or your CD player or your MP3 player. I don't know how.
Streaming service, whatever it is.
However you listen to music anymore. Speak Now, Taylor's version, Taylor Swift's re-recording of her third album from 2010. Her guests are Fall Out Boy, Hayley Williams from Paramore on that album.
Wow. She's really sticking to that. Wow. And she's the third one. Good for her.
The Call of the Void, Nita Strauss. This is her second album. Her guests include Alice Cooper, David Draymond from Disturbed, and Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm.
Jeez.
That's interesting, Liz.
Wow.
I Want It All Right Now from Group Love. That's their sixth album. Wow, their sixth album.
Okay.
This is kind of interesting. I Inside the Old Year Dying, PJ Harvey.
PJ Harvey.
PJ Harvey.
Haven't heard from her in a while. Nice.
Her 10th new album. That's interesting. We were talking about her this weekend. That's interesting.
Huh. Good job, Polly Jean.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm a big fan.
Yes.
She
was always a very interesting artist. Yeah.
She's one of those artists where I never felt like she got her due, in part, and selfishly, I kind of enjoyed that a little bit because I like...
A little secret, right?
Yeah.
You know, we all have those bands that were like, you know, it's like because you feel ownership of them. They're not, you know, they have a decent following. You know, maybe Living Color is one of those bands.
It's a perfect example.
Yeah, exactly.
For me.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I love that band more than any other band in history.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, as much as I love to see them get promoted, get big, and all that, there's a selfish part of me that you know.
Not too big. Make a living.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, the top 10 TV related arguments couples have. So this is arguments that they have on TV that are similar to real life arguments.
Is that what it is?
Here.
All right.
Okay. More of that coming up on The Morning Show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning Show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. I'm trying to do a real manly. Locally grown radio here at WFHR. Here's Waiting for the Light to Come. Soft Rock. I don't know. I know the lyrics. I cannot remember the artist, though.
I can't either. But you know, I know you hate that song.
Waiting
but anyway.
Something like that. Something.
It's Waiting for the Stars to Fall, James.
That's
come on,
it.
Man.
Waiting for the Stars to Fall, which is a horrible line. Have a good weekend, Melissa. Melissa making faces at us out the window. Yeah, that's a horrible line. Why are you waiting for stars to fall? That seems that's
like the
like
end of the world, you know? It's like, come
like
on.
The end of all things. All things. You know how many stars are in the sky?
Oh my gosh.
That's it. And the end game, everybody. Like, that's not something.
Dude, you're trying to make sense of 80s lyrics. You can't.
How can it be more than a feeling if you feel it? I'm sorry, Boston. I got an issue with that one. That I'm never letting that one go. I will die on that hill. Worst song lyric of all time. Honestly, I think it might be the worst song lyric of all time. Refrain lyric of all time, I'll say.
I don't know, man. White Zombie ran with more human than human.
Yeah, that's the same thing, man. You're right on that one. That's a bit. I have to apologize. I think I'm a little edgy today. I actually got a little sleep last night. Mm-hmm. And what did I get for my troubles?
What?
There's something wrong with my back.
Oh, jeez.
I slept funky on my back or something, and I've got like a little edge to me today.
Of course.
Which is going to be great when from 3 to 4 today, we encourage you to join us for Midday Magazine, and I'll be talking with Representative Scott Krug. That'll be fun. It's always a fun, transparent conversation with Scott. We wrap up the week with our friends at the YMCA. We're going to be talking with Stephanie, their events coordinator. We got a lot to talk about with our Y. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a lot of fun. Looking
always
forward
a good
to that
conversation.
Hey,
yeah.
You know the Y? They could help me with my back.
Get
on one of those things.
Crack.
For right now, who gets to command the remote is a classic relationship struggle.
Okay.
But Roku polled couples to find the top TV-related arguments we have, and fighting over what show to watch is not number one.
Oh, wow. So wait a minute. Roku is doing surveys now?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I guess that's the new world.
They need to know, yeah.
1 in 5 people said that they get frustrated by their partner's TV habits on a daily basis.
Okay, on a daily basis.
That's a lot.
What else are you getting upset about there?
With the amount of ways that we watch shows nowadays, I wonder if this list is even relevant in the time of this segment.
Might be old news already. Yeah.
Because, back in the day, you had to fight over the one TV and what to watch and everything.
Right.
Now, you're taking over the TV. I'll watch it on my phone or on my tablet.
Or my other three other TVs that we have in the house, you know?
I think a better conversation is you're watching a show with somebody and waiting to watch that show until they can.
Yes.
And getting ahead of them on a show or something.
Which I'm still doing, Beth. Secret Invasion. Has not started yet.
Oh, brother, I got to talk to you about it.
I know.
Beth, you got to get back. So the top things on this list that are similar arguments they have on TV that we have in real life, the volume. When one person thinks it's too loud or too quiet.
My children and my wife.
Yeah.
This is the constant struggle in our house. Boy, it's too loud. What are you boys, deaf?
I remember that one. That's definitely good. Deciding what to watch. You want to watch something, but they don't. That's interesting.
Beth and I have solved this problem. We know there are only a few shows that we both like. We have very different entertainment tastes when it comes to television. So we find the few that we like, you know, maybe a Star Trek show here and there. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Marvel stuff, some Star Wars stuff. But that's about it. Otherwise, very different.
I think one of the cooler things, it's not at all mandatory or necessary, it ain't even in the top 1,000 relationship requirements, but when you have shows that you dig together and talking about them and everything, I think that is one of the more fun things in a relationship.
I agree, having
that. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's that important or anything.
Right.
But when it happens to be there, I think it's fun.
Yeah.
It's not nearly as important, but I think it's similar of having a similar sense of humor.
Yeah. No, I think the humor is probably more important than that, because, you know, Beth and I, we've worked it out fine. You know, it's not like, you know, every now and then I'll watch one of something she's watched and I'm like, nah. And then and then I'll move on now.
There are certain things, too, that I think that are our relationship kind of like benchmarks.
OK. Yeah.
When you're with somebody and you have that first like kind of moment where it's quiet and you can have a comfortable silence.
You don't
feel like you got to fill the void or anything like that. That's when you know your relationship's gotten to a good point. And when you can both watch do your own thing.
Yep.
You know, she's got to show you she likes. You've got to show you like. And you can do that and not, you know, have to watch what the other person's, everything the other
they're doing.
Watches.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. I think those are little things that could be a real fun part of the relationship.
I agree.
Asking too many questions about the plot. My God. No.
No, don't even do it with me. Don't. I will be very Switzerland on this for the most part, and okay. very giving and all, right. and all that. But I got a limit. I got a limit on this one. I'm the exact opposite on sports. Mm-hmm. I usually appreciate the person that I have not dated a lot of people that even know sports or like sports. I didn't try to do this. It's just happened that
right,
way.
Right.
So I'm actually a little okay with.
Yeah.
Oh, they actually want to watch the game with me. That's
yeah.
cool.
And they got to know what's going on. I mean,
Yeah. I don't like watching stuff that I don't know what's going on.
Exactly,
I get that.
Yeah.
But with a TV show or a movie, especially with the convoluted plots nowadays and stuff, man. Like, no. You want to understand what's going on in the Marvel universe? Here's Iron Man 1. Like,
yeah.
I'll see you in 10 years like when you catch up.
That does happen. We're kind of going through the MCU with my oldest now. You know, last night we watched Thor the Dark World, and he's one of those guys. I love my sons, of course, to death, but he's always like, well, what's going to – he's always wants to know what happens next.
Yeah.
And he verbalizes that.
Oh,
and I'm like, just watch the movie. You know, it's going to happen. You can just watch the movie. It's going to be okay.
I don't know how some of the younger generations are going to do with movies where they have to wait for the plot to develop and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know the last time this has even happened to me. So me at this age is probably a lot better about that than mm-hmm. I was in my 20s or whatever. But I do remember being annoyed by that with certain things. They keep talking while you're trying to pay attention. Yep. That's my number one. I don't at all act like I'm normal. You've never heard me come on the air and say I'm a normal human being, that I'm not weird or crazy in certain ways.
I don't believe anyone has ever accused you of being normal either,
not
James.
Not once. Not even close. Not even as a joke. Not even sarcastically. When I watch movies and TV shows, I'm working.
Yep.
I'm dissecting
in,
this
right?
stuff. Mm-hmm. This is how I learned. This is how I've gotten as good as I have at this gig. And I'm not just talking about acting. I mean entertaining.
Just in general. Yeah.
Just in general. And to me, that's what I'm doing there. So you can talk if you want. I'm probably not going to hear you. And I'm just going to feel rude and like a jerk. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just, you know, you want to talk? We'll talk after the movie.
Right.
Well, take notes if you have to.
Oh, here you go. I got a way to keep them from doing it. And I don't know if it'll work. It's just an idea that I had. Every time they start to talk, pause it. And that means that every time if they keep bringing it up, pause.
No,
pause.
It worked for me. Yeah. I do this because I have to. As you're talking, dialogue is happening. I'm missing things.
Exactly.
I have to either rewind or pause.
Yeah.
Especially with certain movies like I watch where every scene, you know, could have something important in it or something like that. Okay. Spending too much time choosing what to watch.
Well, it's just a problem everyone has these days, really.
I mean, how are you going to get mad at somebody for doing something you do?
Exactly.
Yeah, we all do this.
You know, I have really cut it to the point where it's like, you know what? I only have so much time to watch certain things. I'm going to very much limit what I'm going to be watching. Because I know, there's a lot of shows out there that I probably would like. But is it enough for me to spend the time to get into it? You know, that kind of thing. So I'm very harsh on this, too. It's like, nope, not going to do it. I'm just going to do this.
Same here. I'm very surgical about this.
Yeah.
I have very little time to watch TV shows mm-hmm. or movies or anything. So I've got to – I'm dying to watch that series, The Bear. I really want to see it. It looks really good. I've even had some opportunities to audition for parts on it and everything.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And that's another reason why I'd like to watch it. Mm-hmm. But I know I need the time to be able to do it. And I just haven't had the time. So in my head, I've got, okay, I got a half an hour, an hour. That's not enough time for a movie. It's enough time for a TV show. And then but I don't want anything too dramatic. I want something light.
It depends on the mood, too. Yeah.
And by the time I get through that list, I've pretty much got what I'm going to watch.
Exactly.
That's helped me a lot. Mm-hmm. And by not having any free time, I've had more time or found a better way of doing this.
Yes.
They fall asleep while you're watching something together. It's annoying because of this next one. Having to rewatch something your partner missed, either because they fell asleep or left the room.
This does not happen very often in my experience. So I've not had to deal with that.
They're not paying attention because they're on the phone or their computer. Yeah.
Yeah. I, that, doesn't bother me too much.
Let me add to this. That doesn't bother me unless CC the top ones up here of asking a million questions. Yes.
Like while you're distracted on something else, then that's an issue. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mind asking questions if you're paying attention. Yeah. If you're not even paying attention, then why? What are we
What's
doing
the point?
Here? Yeah. Hogging the remote came in at number 9. Which is interesting, all that way down
never,
there.
That's never been a problem, really. Yeah, it's not. We don't really have that hogging the remote thing.
And I've never had to be the one holding the remote.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't know.
Doesn't make any sense.
I don't get it. Losing or misplacing the remote. Yeah, yeah.
That's very annoying, but, you know.
That's also having kids. That's, you know.
100%.
And by that, I mean also having a significant other sometimes.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Sometimes. Who can behave like a child. And I'm putting everyone in this boat.
Yep.
Where I'm not going to do the old, you got four, you got three kids and then an old kid, with your husband kind of thing. No. You women do it. Yep. Don't give me that. You've done it yourself. So, yeah.
Equal opportunity and maturity.
That's right.
Yes. Yes.
I like that.
We all can be guilty of that.
Yes,
one.
We can.
Man, woman, alien. Doesn't matter. We're going to get to Melissa's news now. We'll come back with some more fun on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Hope you're having a good day out there. Thanks so much for joining Seth and James. We're here to have some fun. 9:38 on the clock. And got a couple interesting ones here, Seth.
All right.
We're going to get to some That Ain't Right stories, although this one might be one as it's in itself.
Okay.
Think you've got good taste in music? Well, don't worry about it because you won't need it anymore. AI is about to start deciding for us.
Oh, no.
More AI talk, everybody. Because we're not sick of that.
AI Central right here.
After that, we'll talk about the pandemic. Well, so we're not tired of that one either.
Yeah, right.
Researchers at Claremont Graduate University in California say their newest AI can predict whether a song will be a hit with 97% accuracy.
Okay.
Previous attempts with AI have been around 50%, so a coin flip. And just using stats of what we like and don't has only managed a 69% success rate, so 97% is a big claim.
Mm-hmm.
People were asked what types of music they like. Then their brains were scanned while they were listening to playlists.
Okay, wow.
So the AI could see what they responded to.
Okay.
When researchers combined the data, they say that their AI could accurately predict how many streams a song would get on apps like Spotify. So in the future, you could do the same thing yourself. Teach an app what kind of music you like, and it could feed you just the stuff it knows you'll be into.
Hmm.
So basically what Spotify and Pandora do already.
I
type into these things, channels sometimes. Miles Davis channel, Living Color channel.
Sure, yeah.
Johnny Cash channel, something like that.
Right.
And then those artists will come up, and then artists like them will come up.
Right, right.
So basically that. What are we doing here? We've already got this.
Oh, man. Yeah. It seems to me, all right, this is one of those things where you're going to have, the old conundrum. Okay, you've got a group of people. Half of them, you're looking for food, okay? Half of them want pizza. Half of them want burgers. And you put them together. No one wants pizza burgers. This is kind of what it looks like to me.
Yeah.
It's like something like, well, let's mash it all together and we'll get something that everyone... No. Well, I kind of see where they're going with this. But what about something you've never heard before?
Yeah.
And you don't know if you like it yet or not. That has nothing to do with stuff you've listened to in the past. That this won't help you nil on that at all. This will not help you at all.
424-2600. Feel free to join the conversation anytime. We're on the air here live and direct. And we have these rolling poll questions we've been doing.
Sure.
I'm going to have a rolling audience participation question or conversation.
Right.
Either way you want to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you afraid of AI? Simple.
It's a question.
Just point blank. Do you care? Are you worried? Do you yourself? I mean, we've seen a lot of stories about this.
We have.
I have yet to hear one human being in a normal conversation have any concern with this. And I talk to a lot of people, a lot of very different people, and I do not have any one person. Now, I do think that there is some, I know there is concern when it comes to the arts and artists getting paid and artists, the AI taking jobs from artists.
Creatives,
That part I get. But the idea that AI could do art better than us or choose our own things that we like better than us. Mm-hmm. Are you worried about that? Because I'm not.
Not really.
I feel like this is much ado about nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let these creatives, these scientists, these engineers, let them do what they're going to do. That's fine. We're going to keep doing our thing.
Yeah.
And like any other. Does anybody remember the Nintendo Glove?
The Power Glove.
The
Power Glove, yes.
Nintendo put millions into this, and it was going to be the next big thing, and it was going to change video games forever. By the time 2023 came around, all video games were going to be the glove or something like that or whatever. It died.
It failed miserably.
It failed a horrible, miserable commercial death. I don't see, what are we doing? You know, what do you really, society decides these things.
Mm-hmm.
You can go ahead and put all the marketing and money and all the things you want into this stuff. Society's going to decide whether or not it's something to worry about or not.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk to a little society right now. Good morning. You're on the show.
I guess I'll talk a little bit.
Go for it.
Have you guys not seen the movie Bicentennial Man?
Any reference of a Robin Williams movie, you know I'm okay with. You know I'm all right with. Even arguably one of his worst. I'm okay with. Yeah. In all seriousness, is this something that even comes into your daily conversation, sir?
Well, if you want to talk about where I, you know, like, am I worried in my line of work? No, because AI can't drive.
Yeah. Right on.
There you go.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and they can't deliver the packages yet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, and on that end of it, I'm not worried about that. When it comes to probably maybe my kids' future, what they are doing with their careers, I would worry a little bit. But there's got to be people still got to be able to push the numbers.
That's right.
To make AI work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean. It could help in the future, but I don't think we're going to lose everything from it. I mean, listen, you know, like what you said yesterday, I think you were talking about it, how, like, when it comes to writing, mm-hmm. how is that AI really going to know your true feelings, especially when you're trying to write a song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you plug that into AI and maybe get some ideas?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Sure.
But to have them take over songwriting, the movies, I think it's getting kind of blown out of proportion.
You know, if AI is as smart and as advanced as they say it is, it's already played this out. They're still going to need us. Even if computers took over, they still need us to push buttons, plug them in, all these different things. Like, so they've already played this out and realized, oh, if we take over, that's a lot more work. Like, you know what? We'll just stay letting humans run everything. They've already played this out. They've run the scenario. It doesn't make any sense for them.
Right. You know, and so, I mean, for AI to want us to be worried about AI, I think that's just... it's coffee house talk is what it is.
That's a great way of putting it.
It is filling the time for a lot of news outlets, for sure, in a dead time of year. It's a slow time of news year.
That's
for
true.
Some,
summer
for
is
some.
Usually that way. Yeah.
Always good to talk to you.
Really much going on.
Yeah. So, yeah.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate the call.
You know, I just see a cycle here. What I'm seeing is a cycle. Okay. Stick with me here, everybody. What was it 6 years ago? Robot cars.
Yeah.
Where are robot cars?
Yeah.
How are they doing right now? 3 years ago, the metaverse.
Yeah.
Virtual reality. Everything. Where's that now? Okay. Yeah. This is all hype stuff, guys. Crypto. Yeah.
Crypto, man.
It's all hype. That's what this is right now. Now, eventually, it'll be something. I don't know what it's going to be, you know, but it's going to be there, and it's going to be something. But we get into these cycles of what do we need to be scared of this week, or what's going to be the next take over everything thing. And it just kind of peters out. There's no there. That's the problem.
I want to say it's called FTX Arena, and the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat play at FTX Arena, or it's not called that anymore officially.
Right.
Because there was a crypto company that went out of business.
That blew up, yeah.
They have on the top of the arena this gigantic FX, you know, sign or whatever and everything that only planes can see, that billionaires care about and all that. They can't move it. It costs more to move it than just to leave it there.
Oh, my God.
So it's going to be there longer than crypto is around.
Oh, my God. That is just... I'm sorry. There maybe is a little schadenfreude here, but I got to say, it serves them right.
I mean,
come on.
It's hilarious.
I don't mind the backlash all the actors got for being in those stupid commercials.
No, not at all.
They deserve it.
Yep.
For
yep.
being hood, for well, and not for them being hoodwinked, for hoodwinking people
who
investing in and now have lost all of their money.
you don't get to get paid millions of dollars for delivering one or two lines for nothing.
That's
right. It
comes
with a responsibility.
There is.
We're all used to actors shelling goods.
Mm-hmm.
That's all
they
well and
it.
Good
yep.
and everything. And, oh, hey, I bought these pair of shoes, and they're not as great as I thought they were. And that's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
We're talking about people that, you know, put their life savings into crypto
that's
and
what
things
yes.
like that.
Lost because, everything.
Because Matt Damon told you to be brave.
Yeah.
You know, that ain't right. That,
yep.
that stuff's that is taking your status and... Well, we don't let politicians get away with this. We
yeah.
shouldn't let entertainers get away
no,
with it either.
No, it's abusing your position. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do think that we do hold them accountable in some ways when it comes to Matt Damon's next movie at the box office. How well is it going to do?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. We'll see.
I don't know.
How that stuff goes. When researchers combined the data, they say AI could accurately predict how many streams a song would get on apps like Spotify. So in the future, you could do the same thing yourself. And that's where some of the concern comes in, though. There's also talk about how it could end shows like American Idol because it would be better than the judges at spotting talent.
Meh.
It's better for a bigger idea called a neuroforecasting. Oh, boy. Yeah.
Neural forecasting.
Come on.
That's thrilling, isn't it? That's what I want to be. I'm going to neural forecaster when I grow up.
Can we just get things right first that we're already doing and yes, then move
please.
On to some of this stuff?
Can we?
Like,
can we have like decent health care and you know, a few other things?
Would that be nice? So many more things to worry about on our plates than this stuff. We'll take a break. We'll come back and take some more calls and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Where have all the Cowboys gone? Anybody seen the Cowboys? Anybody? Nobody's seen them in the playoffs in a long time.
Oh! Hey-o! I know where the Cowboys are. They're on Thursday night from 7 to 8 on WIRI.
Nice.
Trail Tunes.
Check Trail Tunes every Thursday.
That's right. We had a Roy Rogers tribute last night. That was a lot of fun to put together. That was fun. Yeah.
We got to get into some That Ain't Right stories
all
here
right.
Real quick. And actually, they're both involving baseball.
Oh, okay.
Kind of interesting. On Monday night, the Miami Marlins held the Bark in the Park night at Lone Depot Park in Florida.
Lone Depot.
I know it's so weird.
I know.
Anyway. We have our own Bark in the Park night coming up in this month.
July 12th, yeah.
July 12th mm-hmm. over at Winterfield. Be sure to join us for that. And I guarantee you the Rafters will be smarter than the Marlins.
Oh, no.
For those of you who don't know, that means dogs are welcome to the ballpark.
That's right.
But on the same night, they also held their 4th of July Ultimate Fireworks Show.
Oh, no. Oh.
And pretty much anyone who owns a dog knows how that turned out. To be fair, they did warn the audience that fireworks would commence 15 minutes after the game. But seriously, who's able to get out of a baseball stadium in 15 minutes with your dog?
Well, maybe the Marlins.
Fans.
Yeah.
Well, when there's only 20 people at the stadium, I mean, that is fair.
No. But I think more people actually come to these Bark at the Park. They actually bring their – just to bring their dog to the park. Yeah.
Monumental failure.
That was just not smart.
The Marlins just – they do this stuff all the dang time. Back in the day when they had the Samson guy running things and everything, it was much worse.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's these people that live in bubbles
mm-hmm.
and have no idea. They think they understand what people want. They think they get an idea
mm-hmm.
because maybe they talk to one. It's like the Haslam guy. The Haslam guy talks to like one homeless person his whole life and drafts Johnny Manziel. Like, get out of your bubbles.
That's great.
Talk to some people. Talk to some actual people, some actual fans, and figure out some stuff.
And it's so sad because the Marlins are actually pretty good this year. They're looking good.
Them,
you know?
Them and the Reds are two of those exciting teams that we didn't expect to be good to be good. You got a guy who might bat, you know, at least flirt with 400.
Yeah. What a great story, yeah.
When he's healthy, you've got, to me, one of the most exciting young players in Jazz. Mm-hmm. I think when he, you know, when he's playing.
And Cincinnati's got all these great young players, exciting young players, and they have the one of the terrible ownership groups of baseball, or of any sport, actually.
Yeah, yeah. And continuing with our That Ain't Right stories, our feature one takes us to the ballpark again. MLB has been all about new rules this season, and now that's apparently extending off the field as well, onto fans' hot dogs.
What?
On the 4th of July, four major league ballparks treated, quote, treated fans to Pepsi-flavored ketchup.
Oh, God.
It was part of Pepsi's Better with Pepsi campaign, where they're drumming up publicity by hyping crazy combinations. Someone at Pepsi said the distinctive flavors and vibrant citrus blend of Pepsi enhance the bright and tangy characteristics of ketchup.
Wait a minute. Citrus?
Yeah.
In Pepsi? What?
This kind of blew up in their faces, though, because like people were returning their hot dogs. Like they wanted their money back on this and everything.
Oh, no, my gosh.
There were some people online saying that they will never drink Pepsi again because of it left a literal bad taste
in their mouth. Oh, my gosh.
424-2600. If anybody out there had happened to be at a ballpark that tried this, I'd love to know what you think.
That's insanity, man.
It was only available at four ballparks, Arizona, Minnesota, Detroit, and New York. And it did not do well at any of those parks.
Mm-hmm.
Also, at all MLB ballparks now until they were doing until the 4th, you could buy hot dogs and Pepsi and get this deal.
Oh, no.
The deal stopped as soon as the word got out about these.
And that rarely happens with these things. Pepsi, they put a lot of money into it.
Pepsi can certainly afford to take some losses, but it's harder to take the losses when you're the number two act in town. Pepsi's gave up a long time ago about trying to be bigger than Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
They just leaned into Mountain Dew and leaned into all these different flavors and that. And I actually think it was, in some ways, a smart business move because they were wasting their time.
Right, yeah.
But doing things like this ain't much better. It ain't going to help you. It's how you get into third place.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Here comes Dr. Pepper going to ride into the gap
You just never know. We have some local great good stories happening in our area. Seth, let's tell them about them.
Well, you've been hearing it on this station here. The Rudolph Volunteer Fire Department are having their annual street dance, their 76th annual, which is so awesome, coming up on Saturday. This is tomorrow. It starts at about 3:30 with the parade. There's going to be activities for kids, food trucks, and refreshments. Southbound. Classic, great local band. We'll be playing from 5 to 10 on Saturday.
Cut.
Yeah, no kidding. And then fireworks at dusk by the Braddock Company. This all takes place starting at Main Street, 1559 Main Street in Rudolph. Still, Rudolph has the best fire department patches I have ever seen.
Yeah,
it's one of the great of all time. But we love supporting what they do up there, and they're going to have a great time this Saturday starting at 3:30 in Rudolph. Go check it out.
It really is one of the more fun ones to be at, too. We've got nothing but great 4th of July street dances, and any chance to help our fire departments, greatly appreciate the people that are doing that. Have some fun and support our firefighters.
Yes, indeed.
Registration for Stuff the Desk is still open. You've got a little bit more time. You have until August 3rd to be able to do this. This is open to all children in needs of school supplies.
Mm-hmm.
You can register by going to uwswac.org, or during the work week Monday through Friday from 8 to 5, you can call 211.
All right.
Registration must be submitted by August 3rd. Walk-ins will only be accepted on Saturday, August 19th between 10 and 10:30 while supplies last. All of this, of course, a part of the Stuff the Desk event on August 18th and 19th at East Junior High, located at 311 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids.
All right. Cool.
And we got good stuff coming up today and all weekend long. Join us from 3 to 4 today for Midday Magazine. Part 1, Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug will be with us.
All right.
And in Part 2, we'll catch up with our friends from the Southland County YMCA.
All right.
We've got great Rafter baseball on your radio dial all weekend long. Tonight, Rafters are at Lakeshore, pregame at 6:20. 6:20 the pregame tomorrow as we host Traverse City for Saturday. And then on Sunday, Traverse City staying in town, 12:50 pregame for that.
All right.
Going to be a good weekend of baseball right here at WFHR.
Yes, indeed.
And great weekend action as well. Join us on Saturday mornings at 7 for the Sunshine Polka Show.
Sunrise, Sunshine. We've got too many names for our shows now. It's Tim's Polka Show. That's
Join
right. Yeah.
Join Seth for Over the Back Fence from 11 to noon.
That's
great
right.
Great call-in show with your items that you're looking for, items you want to sell. We got Seth Faces to Music going on from 6 to 8 this weekend. What do you got as a theme?
We got a rerun this week because of the short week. We got a rerun. But next week, I'll have a new one. So
Be sure to catch an old classic.
Yep. They're all classic, man.
Yeah. And Director's Cut's going to feature Seth and I this week in going over the all the different things going on in the entertainment right now.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically, is the summer blockbuster still a thing?
Is it a thing?
Thank you all. Greatest audience in the world. We appreciate you all. Thanks so much for hanging out with us all weekend long. Stick around for Kristen's show and Mother Good Stuff right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.